WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Welcome, my friends, to the Texas Power Hour with Pastor Carolyn Sism and friends. This radio show is an outreach ministry of Eastgate Ministries in Katy, Texas. Experience the power. Experience the glory with Pastor Carolyn Sism.
Paul's last days. probably the last 3 years of his life. Y'all remember back 2 years ago? And this movie is probably about the last year of his life is where it's set. And it was at this point that that Luke visited him in prison and he wrote the book of Acts. Romans was written to the Romans. So it wasn't written while he was there because it was written to them. But we're in chapter 10. And Paul's passion for Israel is so great that he never ceases to pray for her salvation. Nor should we as Christians ever cease to pray for the Jews or to pray for Jerusalem. I mean, that's a guaranteed word. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and God will prosper you. So we should continue always to pray for the Jews. We've got to pray for Israel now because they're surrounded. I mean, they're all around them now, ready at bombing. So in this chapter, Paul again emphasizes the gospel of faith righteousness. It's not something to strive and strain after with superhuman efforts. And if you were like me, and I know none of you ever did this, I'm the only one. I tried in my early years to do it, and I always fell short. I don't have to try anymore. It's just the most liberating and free thing in the world. Yes. There's no more work in my life. Yes. I just am. Mm-hmm. I just be. And because I am and because I be in Christ Jesus, I am free. I'm free of all human effort. Free of all accusation. Free of any condemnation. Free of any criticism. Who I am, God has made me to be this way. And it's okay. The word of faith is here introduced to the gospel in verses 8 and 9. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This morning when I was coming to church, I'm praying, Lord, let the operations of God the Father, the operations of the Theos of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, take your word and just lift us up into the heavens with your word, Lord. The word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. There's no degrees of being saved. There are degrees of maturity. There are degrees of moving in the power of God and the presence of God and the operations of God. There's no degrees of your salvation.
Amen.
The word says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's important for a new believer to confess, even for congregation, if they will, with their mouth, that they have received their salvation. Believe and receive, then close the deal with God by confession with the mouth. If belief alone were sufficient, the demons would be saved. James 2:19. You believe there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm telling you, everybody should have gone out of here Sunday morning and they shouldn't have been the same. I mean, the Holy Spirit absolutely moved in on the sermon, stopped me from preaching. I couldn't have gone on with another word if I had not said what he told me to say. I could not have gone on. And there was some in there where they kind of making jokes about it. Well, later it was funny. Sunday evening, we were kind of laughing about it. It was somebody did. But when that Spirit of God came in, it was not funny. It was serious. And I hope everyone says, hey, I need to get right here. Because one thing, the Spirit of God moved in and said that, you know, we cannot have enmity against the brethren. And we do have, we got to get it out of our heart. Now, I've had enmity before. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever had that in your heart. And boy, if it comes in, I know I got to get rid of it. Because we can't have it. But the way the Spirit of God moved in here Sunday, next time he's going to call names. And he will. So we have to get that. You know how you get it out of your heart? You know how you get enmity out of your heart? Do like I did. I went before God and I confessed it. I said, Lord, this thing got in me. I don't want it. You're the only one that can take it out. I ask you to deliver me of this. And he delivered me in that movie, Paul. Walked out of there, hadn't had it anymore. Ideas that are not translated into words and actions remain as beliefs. You can believe anything you want to. But if you don't bring it forth into actions and words, it's just beliefs. I believe that we're to not only confess him before men, but we are to declare and proclaim him before God and angels. Yes. The Jews had no spiritual acquaintance with God. They knew about him, but they did not know him personally. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant, that I'm reading you the Bible here, I'm not putting any condemnation on the Jews, I'm just reading you what Paul said. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Okay, so it doesn't matter how righteous you and I are, and I'm standing in a group of very righteous people. We cannot establish our own righteousness. We cannot establish our own name. We cannot establish our own work in the kingdom. There was a time in my life when I was very popular. I was very, very popular. When God got ready to put me into the kingdom, I came under persecution and condemnation for 4 years, and I had to totally lose all popularity of my flesh before God could use me in the kingdom. Yes. Now, there are many out there that in the kingdom who are popular, but I can tell you, if God calls you, if God appoints you, if God gives you a commission, first he'll take that popularity away from you.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. It's another liberation. It sets you free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise God. So, knowledge with zeal doesn't please God either, because knowledge puffs up. Zeal, according to knowledge, is revealed by the Holy Spirit, and not the intellect. And it is necessary to make up God's program. Y'all know, I've heard you told you this before, God had to deliver me of my intellect before I could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was C.S. Lewis, who is an intellectual, who finally broke through, because see, God broke through his intellect that he could receive the Holy Spirit. And I was reading one of his books, I can't tell you which one it was right now, but finally it broke through my intellect so that I could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and could understand how the Spirit of God totally takes over our mind. Oh, joy unspeakable and full of glory to be set free from the intellect of your mind. That'll wear you down. Those of us who go back a few years remember the early zeal of the charismatic renewal. We went around quoting scripture to everything that was standing still long enough to hear us. Do you remember this? That does.
Fruit of supergrass.
great long-suffering and patience. Then as many were emboldened with the gifts of the Spirit, their zeal often became presumptuous. And it still is today. Don't be going around and thinking that you're the Holy Ghost that's set to straighten out everybody and everything around you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is not your job.
Amen.
However, in spite of all our growing pains, the Lord's grace continues to prevail as we grow in wisdom and maturity. And sometimes when I lose patience, or maybe I just get tired, whatever, I don't know. Sometimes I just think people ought to be farther along than they ought to be. That's always been my problem. But say I lose patience with where someone is and growing in the Spirit, I bring back to memory something stupid I did when I was growing in the Spirit. And I'm still growing in the Spirit. Every single day, I am growing and learning in the Spirit. And I've said this many times, but our maturity will be measured by how we handle the immaturity of others. So when we're dealing with immaturity of others, and sometimes you're just worn out with it, just remember your maturity is measured. And when God puts a lot on you of handling things that are just very difficult, that's because he trusts your maturity. Remember the first, sometime right this year, the Lord told me I was going to feel put upon. And I hardly ever feel, I just don't feel that way anymore. But I've had a few instances lately where I had to overcome. As for the man who is weak in the faith, receive him, but not to criticize him for his opinions, our past judgment on his scruples are perplex him with discussion. Now this would take patience sometimes. How many people preach at you with their opinions? They preach at you with their opinions. They'll perplex you with endless discussion. Well, here right here is the scripture.
Oh, yeah.
What we're supposed to do with it. There's no anything in here that says there's an alternate plan. Okay, am I preaching to the right crowd today?
Yes, ma'am.
This plainly means that as ministers, we're not to argue, invade another's space without an invitation, and hold our opinions until we are inquired of. It takes, I wrote this in 1987. It takes the grace of patience to listen to lengthy opinions who just like to talk. Diane, it's just an honor. Well, I've got a good message today for this right crowd. And we are to accept weak believers into the fellowship. And I'm preaching to Carolyn Sizzle. They may try to argue with us or even cause trouble. In such case, then it is to be handled by the elders. We are to be mature enough to not take offense at those who are weak in faith, instead of trying to get them beat up and straightened out.
Right.
We're level. Nor are we to be persuaded by those of weak faith and a weak understanding of the scriptures. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man who does those things shall live by them. You may well imagine that this scripture is the subject of a lot of heated discussion among scholars of the word. The controversy being, what does Paul mean by saying Christ put an end to the law. You can imagine how many theologians have argued over that one. The law is still in force because it is eternal. But the Jewish program has ended. The Jewish program has ended. There is no longer a high priest over there because Jesus Christ is the high priest. There are no longer bulls and goats being offered as sacrifice and lambs being offered as sacrifice. There is one sacrifice, and it is the Lamb of God. Yes. There is one blood offering, and it's His. Since Jesus lived a perfect life under the law, it means He fulfilled the law with His life, that He might die, that His life might come to us. Now, I'm telling you, this is good news. I shared Sunday morning, but I just happened to think about it again when Bill Hemmer was joking about folks saying there was no hell. And he says, Hemmer gets a pass. I thought that was pretty funny. Okay, and people, y'all get a pass here. Don't y'all see y'all are getting a pass? The law, He fulfilled the law with His life that you might have life. And that it will be that you will receive your faith by righteousness. Now you've got a pass. The law required more than perfect lives. It also requires the death of sinners. Thus they stoned Christ's body. Stoning. When we receive Jesus as Savior, we also receive His death. When we first get saved, we don't quite have this picture. We're still about I and me. Our ego gets still pretty high, and it's all about I and me, and God, what you're going to come in and do for me. We don't get this death thing right away. But you will not go into full-time public ministry until you die to I, the big I and the big me. But that's all you're going to preach is me and I. We fulfill the death requirement. The law cannot touch a dead man. And when a man receives Christ, he is regarded as legally dead to the old man.
Yes, amen.
If it were possible for anyone to live a sinless life in the flesh, then it would not have been necessary for Jesus to die. Mm-hmm. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of faith, which we preach. I told you this morning when I was coming, I said, Lord, this word is in me. I love this word. I joy in this word. It is so much joy to preach the word of God and to bring the word of God to the, oh, it's just a joy unspeakable to be able to preach the word of God. And I said, Lord, let it ring in the heavens. And let people learn to love the word of God the way I love it. Paul is quoting Moses in Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. So the Jews well knew this scripture. For this commandment which I command you this day is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. And in the Spirit of God, we can pray and have knowledge of people who are in some foreign land, and we can pray for them and know exactly what's going on in their life. There is no distance. in the Word of God when it's spoken, and there is no distance in the Spirit. And the Jewish reader at Rome were very familiar with this passage in Deuteronomy because the Jews knew the Bible. They knew the Old Testament. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get a pass, people. I'm telling you, this is the good news. This is the good news that should be proclaimed. How can we go about being naughty and evil and wicked when we have this great salvation for us and then the Spirit of God moves on it and that we can live and move in it? And these words are too broad for narrow minds of self-made men and women who believe in themselves and not in the power of Jesus. Jesus broke me that I had no idea that I had any power or that I was self-made in any kind of way because of my strong will or because of any mind that I had. He brought me to a place where I can only, and even in ministry, I can only depend in the power of Jesus for what he has called me to do, and he has called me. Morality and uprightness without acceptance of Jesus Christ is still an unsaved life. It is also pride. There are many really good people who have made success out of their lives through hard work and perseverance, but they have never called upon the Lord to be saved. We talked recently about the difference about honoring a righteous man. But a righteous man who may not have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit has called upon the Lord to be saved. There are many people in denominational churches who have called upon the Lord to be saved, but they may not have come into the level of maturity in the Holy Spirit to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they are saved. Said that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who are we to judge another person's salvation? Amen. Paul uses the name of the Lord here as Kyrios. Kyrios, which means Messiah. Jesus is the God of all peoples, both Jew and Greek. The Lord's richness of his great love, salvation, and redemption is to all who will receive him as their Messiah. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let me tell you, I got some beautiful feet this morning. Because I'm preaching the Word of God, and I am telling you that I'm bringing to the world through this message the glad tidings of good things. And let me tell you, if you're not preaching the gospel of peace, you don't have anything to preach. You preachers out there, if you're not preaching from the gospel of the kingdom of God, from the realm of the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy, you don't have anything to preach. Every word that should come out of our mouth should bring forth those three things. And if it doesn't, you need to get before Jesus and get it worked out. I confess to you this week, I had to get before Jesus and get some things worked out. Note the sending. I have a ministry in India, and I bless you in there. They're putting heavy pressure on me about coming to India. You know, trying to put it, it's almost to a guilt trip. You know, we're wanting you over here, we need you over here, we need you to come preach to us, and so on. I sent him back a message this morning. I said, you pray to Jesus for me to come, because he's the only one who can send. Y'all know I don't go unless I'm sent. If one is sent, then they're equipped to do what God sends them there to do. I could go all over the world, and I had enough money any day of the week. I could go to any nation of the world. I got invitations to go anywhere. Pakistan, Africa, India, you name it, whatever nation you want to name, China, Japan. But I'm not going unless I'm sent. Because I'm standing right here and I'm reaching more people than I could if I ran all over the world.
That's right. And wore yourself out.
And wore myself out. Mm-hmm. But if God sent me, I'll go. Each of the members of his body must personally experience a revolutionary work of the Spirit, inwardly in vision and understanding, and outwardly in lifestyle, that we become the gospel of peace. That your words speak peace. We are to become the gospel of peace. God's method for his offer is to use men. And this is the Great Commission. The printed page, along with the internet, has blanketed the earth with the gospel. The angel who is sent forth to the earth with the gospel has been sent. And unless the Spirit sends a man, his words are empty. With the anointing, his words are life. An anointed messenger is really speaking as the one in whose name the messenger speaks. Paul is here quoting from Isaiah 52:7. The prophet wrote, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him." Paul purposely changes it to, "How beautiful are the feet of them." By New Covenant expansion and Holy Ghost illumination, the Apostle Paul declares that the feet of him has become the feet of them. Christ in the fullness of his church. The gospel proclaims that Jesus has come to bring forgiveness, life, and peace to all. And this good news enters in his glorious person in him. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ now resides in them, his glorious body. Till he comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him. That's Ezekiel 21:27. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Ezekiel said, until he comes, whose right it is. Whose right it is, it belonged first to Jesus Christ, then to the Spirit, the Son, and his body, first in him, and then in them. It becomes him, and he becomes them. And those who believe in his name, the divine covenantal right is his, and it is ours. Oh, church, this is good news. Why would the whole world not embrace this good news? Oh, that the power of the Trinity, of the Godhead, that is in you, the Messiah who died on the cross for your salvation, to take the sin away from you, to deliver you from sin, that your sin nature would be gone, that you would receive all the blessings of Abraham, you would receive all the blessings that's promised to the church, and then you have the Holy Ghost, who has the power, and he brings forth the fruit of the Spirit, and he brings forth the gifts of the Spirit. And then you have Father God, the Theos, who includes the Messiah and the Holy Spirit, and he is the operation behind all the power of the Godhead. Why would you not want that? I ask you, world, why you will not come to Jesus Christ and receive the salvation that is so free? And why the church, the apostate church, will not receive the fullness of the Godhead in the operations of his power and in the operations of the Holy Spirit, and that we may all come to the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Foundational truth of whose right it is. It's based on King Jesus having been given all authority in heaven and earth. God is omnipotent and he has no enemies. I'm about to break this pulpit. Probably a good thing. We need a new one.
Yeah.
I have several pulpits around town. The one at Little White Church, God said it was mine. I don't know who's preaching behind it. God said that was my pulpit. I don't think he gave it away to anyone else. And then I've had two other pulpits given to me. We left one at Brother Samson's. And then I've got one at Diana's house. So we might need a new pulpit here. Help me, Jesus. Where was I? God has no enemies. I said, God has no enemies. They all lay defeated under his mighty feet. The warfare is accomplished. The devil is not God's adversary. He is ours. He is left here on earth so that we will learn how to fight and how to war and how to be strong in the spirit that we can war against the adversary, the devil. If we didn't, we'd be a bunch of cream puffs or snowflakes. I used to be a cream puff. Didn't have that kind of political view, but I sure was a something. Okay. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The tragedy of the gospel is that sinful men simply don't want it. In full view, through our television screens, and I'm always preaching at that television, it's clear, since I was in 1987, it is clear that the world system will only believe the spirit of the Antichrist. World being cosmos. We hear the pundits scorn and mock Christians and our beliefs. Did y'all see where, Huckabee said, what's her first name?
Sarah
Huckabee. Thank you. Drew Blake read the Easter story at the Easter egg roll.
Precious.
Yes.
That's awesome.
God's going to honor that. He is back in the White House. He is back in the White House.
Thank you.
And that means the devil was kicked out. And that means he's mad. John 5:41-47, Jesus speaking to the Jews. This is Jesus speaking. I do not receive honor from men. I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you have not received me. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God alone? will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Matthew 7:13. The gate is wide, said Jesus, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. Romans 10:18-19. But I say, have they not heard? Yet verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. The Holy Bible is our best commentary. If I want to know what something means, I don't go to my commentary first. I go to the Bible first. Now, I may go to a commentary and see what they got to say, because I'm interested in what they got to say. I want to see what they got out of it. If I want to know something, I go to the law of first mention. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible will tell you what it means. And if you follow it all the way through the Bible, it will mean that all the way through the Bible. The meaning will not change.
That's good.
So Paul is again quoting from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32:21. This is God speaking. They have moved me to jealousy with what is not God. They have angered me with their idols. Has our gadgets become idols to us? Do we worship our little iPhones and our little hand computers because we are staring at it all the time and looking at it all the time to see what somebody's got to say next? To see what people are saying next? To see what is said next on Facebook? That wasn't written in here. So I will move into jealousy with those who are not a people, and I will anger them with a foolish nation. And we're that foolish nation, just so you know. Isaiah is very bold and said, I was fond of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, let us be clear, church. Paul was hard on Israel because they were rejecting the Savior. Let me say to you that the people of the United States of America, who have 50 different kinds of Bibles, they have thousands of preachers. They have preachers on television. They have preachers on radios. They have all kinds of knowledge and revelation. And God has released prophets on the earth to give them these specific words of what God has called them to do. And the United States of America is still rejecting Jesus Christ. This word stands for us. And I say to you, the apostate church, and those of you who will not receive the power of the Christ, I say to you that this word that was spoken over the Jews, they apply to the United States of America and to every nation who has not received Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes, yes, yes.
All day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, United States of America. Help me, Jesus. Notice that God still calls the Jews a people. Paul is going to develop that for us in chapter 11. And this chapter ends with two great apostolic doctrines set forth. Number one, The Jews are no longer the exclusive people of God. Number two, privilege of coming to God on an individual basis has been thrown open to all men through belief in His Son, Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, Paul makes it clear that God is not through using Israel as a nation. He's going to make that very clear to us. Paul said, having said all of that, you're ready to ask. Has God disowned His people completely? No way. After all, Paul says, I am a full-blooded Israelite, myself having descended from Abraham through the tribe of Benjamin. It's impossible for God to discard His own people after choosing them on the basis of His foreknowledge. Church of the Living God. Why are we living below what God has given us? Is it because there is no preacher? Is it because ears have been closed and people are hard of hearing? Is it because their eyes have been closed and they cannot see? Is it because their eyes are up on the idols of their televisions and their iPads and their cell phones, and because somebody might say something of importance or something might happen and they might miss it, but in the process they made an idol out of their thingamajigs and they are missing God. Hope y'all come back next week. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, just do it this room. Prophecy in the house, if you have any.